remember vividly the night I was convinced that I would be in prison for the rest of my life. Like, seriously, I was terrified. I was 18 years old, anyone 18, anyone around 17, few of us. In my last summer at school, and me and a couple of mates, we'd been out late on a balmy summer's evening. A bit like tonight, lovely summer's night. And we'd been playing football, and we used to play football on this AstroTurf hockey pitch. And behind the goal was a fence. But behind the fence was a hedge. Yeah. I cannot tell you how much we hated this hedge. Okay? This hedge was thicker than I can possibly explain, with thorns and briars sharper than I can articulate. It would rip through your skin without a moment's hesitation, and it would enjoy it. It was pretty much impenetrable. It wanted to hurt us. Okay? It was laughing at us. And this hedge had claimed more of our precious footballs than I can remember. And we hated it. And so me and my two mates were playing football, and someone has a shot, and it hits the crossbar and balloons up in the air and goes over the fence. And goes over into the heart of the hedge. The heart of the harvest hedge. And somehow, for some reason, on that fateful night, something snapped within us. And we decided enough was enough. We were getting those balls back. Right? Yeah? Good. Come on! We decided the hedge will not win, we will win. So we jumped into, I was driving my mum's little car at the time, we drove to my mate JB's house, he lived around the corner, and we were all in like shorts and t-shirts, so we found like long dark trousers, and hoodies, and thick coats, and hats, and there were even a couple of balaclavas, and we went into the garage, and we got shovels, and spades, and some kind of weird pick thing. As well, we threw them in the boot of the car, we drove back as quick as we could, and we parked the car up facing the hedge. We turned the lights on full, we threw the boot open. We were in such a rush, we didn't even close the boot. We got out our shovels and our spades, and we went to town on this hedge, okay? And it's getting darker and darker, and we are hacking away at the hedge. And every now and again, we unearth another football. And it's good, yeah, right, exactly, amen. And we're getting these footballs, but we've still not found the ball we went in there for. And we're pulling treasure after treasure of footballs out of this hedge until about, I guess it was about 10:30 at night. And this little old lady, she's walking down her dog down the other side of the road. And she looks up at us, and she looks really worried. And she shouts at us, "What are you doing?" Like that. My mate Hank, not his real name, instantly replies, before either of us could stop him, he shouts, "We're burying a body!" This woman, she looks at us, long dark clothes, hats, spades, shovels, car boot open, car lights pointed at the hedge, no one else around. She takes off at a speed. I can't imagine that woman had ever moved that before with her dog. And she's running off them, and she's clearly going to call the police. Like, clearly what is happening. And we are terrified. So we throw as many of the balls in the car as we can. We throw the spades and the shovels back in the car. I drop my mate JB home. I drop my mate Hank home. I drive home to my parents' house. I park the car and drive. I sneak up the stairs. I lie down in bed. Wide awake, convinced that any moment the police are going to come round and take me to prison for the rest of my life. Which, of course, like, is nonsense, isn't it? Because what the police would have done, I figure, I'm not a police officer, but I guess the first thing they would have looked for was a body. And then, not finding the body, they would have realised that we'd actually done nothing wrong, but I tell you what, I've not really been digging for treasure since. I don't know if you guys have ever gone digging for treasure, if you've ever gone on metal detectors out on the beach, or if you've ever gone up into a loft and started rifling through to see if you can find any jewellery or anything precious. I don't recommend doing that in strangers' lofts. Make sure that's a family member. And Jesus once told a little story about digging for treasure in Matthew 13:44. And I think we're going to have it on the screen. And he said this. He said, "The kingdom of heaven." Oh, this is a different parable.
Different parable.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll read it. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field." I'll read that again. Jesus' story goes like this. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy he went and sold all that he had and he bought that field." And I love that little story, but it leaves me with a lot of questions. Does it leave you with questions? But why is he digging in the field? What's the purpose? What sort of treasure did he find? And I guess if I'm really honest with you guys, I'm kind of jealous of this bloke. Because he found treasure, right? And then he went and got it. And I think if we're honest, deep down, that's what we all want. We all want to stumble upon hidden treasure and claim it for ourselves. You might think I've got to admit, I don't imagine that in your spare time you guys go around dressed as a pirate looking for boxes of gold coins. A couple of you do, but not all of you. But I do think we're all looking for treasure all the time in all sorts of places. We look for the treasure of success, of achievement, of wealth, of relationships, of beauty, of sporting victories. And if you want to know what sort of treasure your own heart really desires, it's actually quite easy to work it out. You just ask the question, what's that thing, that one thing that I believe, if only I have that, then I'd be truly happy? What's that one thing that you just think, if only I dated that person, or I had that money, or I got into that uni, or I could get that job, then I'd be truly happy? We're all looking for treasure all the time. Has anyone ever heard of Jim Carrey? Anyone heard of him? It's a Hollywood actor. He looks like this. There he is. There he is. He is in so many films, right? He is crazy successful. He's been in countless comedy movies, films like Dumb and Dumber, Bruce Almighty, The Mask. He's currently the voice of Sonic, which until last week was top of the film charts until the latest Doctor Strange came out. He is bonkers successful and crazy rich. Okay? Like rich beyond your wildest dreams, kind of rich. He once said this, "I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they've ever dreamed of so that they can see that it's not the answer. I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they've ever dreamed of so they can see it's not the answer." Jim Carrey has all the wealth, all the success, all the fame, all the glory, and he says, it's not the answer. It's not the treasure. But what about sporting achievement? That seems as good a way as any to find meaning and significance and do something that will last, right? Just about the most successful British sports person in the last 15 years has been this guy. Anyone know who this is? It's Sir Lewis Hamilton over there. He is a Formula One driver. I'm quite old, but I remember vividly back in 2008. Any of you guys born then? Yeah, good. Thank you to those of you who were born in 2008. You were born in 2008, right? No, you weren't born in 2008. Well, back in 2008, after Lewis won his first Formula One title, he did an interview. He did an interview a few weeks later, and he was talking about what it felt like to become the Formula One world champion. You'll never believe what he said. He said it totally crushed him. He talked about the feeling of what do you do the day after all your dreams come true. See, his whole life, he had worked to get to that point. It had been the thing, the only thing that motivated him. And suddenly, all his dreams had come true, and he felt empty inside. And so do you know what he did? He resolved not just to win it once, but to try and win it more times than anybody else has ever won it. And even now, like 14 years later, he's still out there on the track doing an incredibly dangerous job. He's already won 7 world titles, and he's still out there chasing his dream of an 8th. Because none of this success has given him the treasure that he's hoping it will. Or maybe fame and success in sport don't work, but maybe you can, yeah, fine, that lot won't work, that's cool, but maybe relationships will. If I could just meet the right person, then I'd be truly happy. Well, let's hear from Adele. Adele has had, there's Adele, she's had incredible success, right? She has got more success and riches and fame than you can imagine. And she's had loads of relationships. And in one of her most recent songs called I Drink Wine, she says these words. It's on her latest album. She says this. She sings it actually, but I'm not listening to you now. Why am I obsessing about the things I can't control? Why am I seeking approval from people I don't even know? In these crazy times, I hope to find something I can cling on to, because I need some substance in my life, something real, something that feels true. Adele says she needs some substance in her life, something real, something that feels true. She searched the world all over, and she's sitting in her complex of mansions in LA, writing hit after hit after hit, still feeling empty and lonely, still wondering where to find her treasure. Jurgen Klopp, the Liverpool manager, lots of us downstairs crowded around the phone to watch Jurgen Klopp win the FA Cup just this afternoon. Look at those teeth. He has had incredible, okay, you can boo him if you like, but the fact he's quite successful, like this afternoon when he won another cup. He is, okay, we're all booing, this is great fun, let's all get us. Alright, fine, let's have a moment, let's all boo. Oh yeah, that was lovely, yeah, good. Okay, anyway, regardless of the haters, Jurgen, wish I was called Jurgen, he's had incredible success, and what he does every day is he spends day in, day out with some of the most successful footballers in the world. And footballers are young men who have loads of cash, right? And this is what he says, this is what he said of the men he works with, the footballers. He said this, all of these really likable guys who I meet week in, week out at matches, or in some cases at training, have one thing in common. So Jurgen Klopp says, all footballers have this thing in common. They have noticed at some stage in their careers that there must be more to life than championship and relegation matters. Jurgen Klopp, he's a Christian, and he says the one thing that all footballers have in common is that they've realised that the success that they have on the field is not enough. Premier League trophies, Champions League medals, World Cups, none of them satisfy. See, all that stuff we're tempted to think of as treasure, like this stuff here, like success and fame and all that stuff, relationships, jobs, beauty, exam results, none of that works. And if you chase after these things for treasure, you'll end up just as lost and searching as you are now. We need to find a treasure that will last, don't we? A treasure like the one the guy in the story found, that Jesus tells us, a treasure worth giving everything up for. So the guy in the story, do you remember the story? He found the treasure, a treasure so incredible that he goes home and sells all that he has. Notice, not some of what he has. He doesn't sell most of what he has and keep his like phone or whatever, because he's not going to give that up. He sells all that he has joyfully. Like, he's delighted, like he's giggling as he sells his most prized possessions. Because they are nothing compared to the treasure he's about to enjoy. So guys, the thing that I've come here tonight to tell you, as we all search for treasure in this world, is that only in Jesus do we find a treasure worth giving everything up for. Only in Jesus. It's only in Jesus that we can find a lasting treasure. It's only in Jesus that we can find fulfillment and meaning and joy and blessing and hope. We can look for it anywhere we like, but only in Jesus can we find the treasure worth giving everything up for. Why? Why? Well, here's the thing about Jesus. Colossians 1 tells us he made all things. All things were made by him, and in him all things hold together. Jesus made you. And he knows you inside out, back to front, and he loves you. And he controls all things. And even though, guys, everything else in the world will disappoint you, he never will. Let me tell you a story about my brother-in-law. He's called Chris. And he's amazing. Chris is a brilliant, brilliant bloke. We're about the same age. And I think the world, Chris, I love him to bits, is fun. So Chris is a brilliant businessman, but he doesn't know Jesus. So Chris runs a flooring company, like putting floors down, and he has lots of huge contracts with massive companies, and Chris does really well for himself, like really well. He drives a huge BMW, it's impractically large, but he enjoys it. He owns his own house already, he goes on globe-trotting holidays, and to be honest, and this will really surprise you, I don't have any of those things. In fact, I spent the last few years as a student studying to become a church leader, and even now, I'm working full-time, I'm not exactly loaded. And to tell you the truth, in my line of work, I'm never going to be that well off. And so I've often looked at Chris, my brother-in-law, and thought, wow, Chris has got it all. Chris has got a lovely family. He's got an absolutely beautiful wife. I can say that because she looks exactly like her sister, who I married. And he's got bags of cash. But a couple of years ago, Chris and I went through something really quite similar and really quite scary. Let me tell you about Phoebe and Ben. They're going to come up on the screen. Let me tell you about them. Phoebe, over here on the right, this very small individual, Phoebe is my youngest daughter. When she was due to be born, we very, very nearly lost her. Her chances of survival were incredibly small. She was massively underdeveloped. The pregnancy wasn't really working. There was a problem and she just wasn't getting enough oxygen. All her vital organs were compromised. And she really shouldn't have lived. She should have died. And at several moments along the way, we thought that she had. And the mad thing, the crazy thing was, at the same time, Chris's first child, my nephew Ben, who's over here on the left, he was also having terrible health problems. Ben was having these epileptic fits that got longer and longer and longer, and if they kept getting longer, they were going to kill him. And so Ben, even though he was only a baby, had to have two enormous brain surgeries. And there was no guarantee that either one of those brain surgeries would work, and either one of those brain surgeries might have led to him not waking up. And of course, guys, you can imagine, right? This is a really, really hard time for me and Chris, yeah? And I remember one night, Chris and I were chatting on the phone, and Chris is in like a really specialist hospital in Birmingham. And I'm on the other end of the phone, and I'm in a really specialist hospital in London. And we're just sort of checking in on how we're doing. And the crazy thing was, as we chatted that night, I realised I'm the one who's vulnerable. I'm the one who has wealth beyond my wildest dreams. Because every step of the way, I knew that Jesus was with me. And I knew that he was real, and that he was powerful, and that he was in control, and that he could save Phoebe. And that gave me a courage and a comfort that Chris has never had and never found anywhere. And to be honest, he just couldn't get his head around it. And praise God, both Phoebe and Ben are doing really well. But here's the thing, Jesus is the real treasure. right? Jesus is a trader that stands the test of hard time. Chris has got stacks of cash, but when your child is in danger, your cash buys nothing. Jesus is the real treasure, and he's worth giving everything up for. Let us know about our friend Pete. Here comes Pete. There's Pete. Hello, Pete. Pete is an incredible drummer. So if you don't know, those things up there, those are drums. And I'm told, if you hit them at the right time, you're really good. So Pete is really good. In fact, Pete is such a good drummer that in his early 20s, he was in a band that got signed to a record label. And this is a bit of an old reference, but some of you might get this. They were even on Top of the Pops. Okay? Yeah. And guys, what you don't know is if you were on Top of the Pops in the 90s, goodness me, you would make it, right? So Pete is in this band, they're playing gigs all over the country, they're playing festivals, and do you know what he does? When he makes money from what he's doing, his drumming, he just bought more and more drums, and more expensive drums. Matt's cheering at the back. He had this drum kit. I don't even want to know how much money Pete spent on this drum kit. I should have said, that hilarious group of people on the lower left, that's how bands used to have their pictures taken back in the days. That was his band. But Pete, he knows Jesus. And one day he was listening to a talk, and somebody in that talk was talking about the fact that right at the top of Scotland, there are hardly any churches that are doing well, and there's hardly anyone going to church. And Pete heard that talk, and he felt the Holy Spirit stirring in his heart, and he realized that God was calling him to go to Scotland and to lead a church. And so he moved to the top of Scotland to a church where they didn't even sing when he arrived, and drums weren't allowed. And do you know what he did? Joyfully, he gave every single one of his drums and cymbals away, and with a smile on his face, he went to share Jesus, because that's how good Jesus is. Only Jesus can satisfy. And so if you're pouring all of yourself into finding treasure in the world, stop. Get off that treadmill of worldly success and run into the arms of Jesus, because only in him will you find real treasure. So let me challenge you tonight. What's the treasure that you're going to spend the rest of your life seeking? Are you going to chase exam results, or wealth, or success, or fame, or relationships, or glory? Or will you see the matchless beauty of Jesus and say, do you know what, God, I'm all in. I want to follow him. I want his way in my life. I want my whole life to be about following you, God. Guys, that's the decision I made when I was a teenager. It's the best decision I've ever made. But just as I close, I think everything that I've said so far, it's really good and it's really important, but it's actually not the best news from this little story that Jesus tells. This blows my mind. See, the best thing in this parable isn't just that in Jesus we find a treasure worth giving everything up for, right? The best news in this parable is that in you, Jesus found a treasure worth giving everything up for. In you, Jesus found a treasure that he gave everything up for. See, Jesus had all the treasure of heaven, and he came to this world to find us, even though we're messed up and broken and lost. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he gave up everything he had. Philippians 2 tells us that he made himself nothing. He became a man. He suffered. He even died on the cross to give up his life, not just his stuff, his life, to find us and to win us and to save us. Guys, you're the treasure. You might feel worthless or useless or not that lovable or broken, but you are a treasure so precious and beautiful to God that Jesus joyfully gave up everything he had for you. That's how much he loves you. And if you're here tonight and you don't know and trust Jesus, and you don't believe in him, I've got to tell you, I can't begin to tell you how much he believes in you. So much that he gave his life for you on the cross, to forgive you for all the things you've done wrong, and to make a way for you to be friends with God. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that you are Jesus' treasure and he gave everything for you. So let me encourage you as I finish. If you are someone who would call yourselves a Christian, where are you going to look for treasure in your life? Will you look for it in the places that the world tells you to look for it? That we've heard from all these people don't work? Or will you find your treasure in Jesus? And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you've got to know tonight that the God who made you loves you so much. And he sees you as such precious treasure that Jesus gave everything he had for you. And if you choose to put your trust in him, you will find a hope and a meaning and a purpose and a treasure that will never disappoint you or let you down. Guys, I think choosing not to follow Jesus is like throwing away a winning lottery ticket. And no one does that, right? You'd be crazy to throw away a winning lottery ticket. And I think knowing Jesus is way better than that. I think you'd be crazy to throw away the opportunity to know him. Let me pray as I close. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that in Jesus we find a treasure worth giving everything up for. I pray that my friends here would see that and would want to make their whole lives about following Jesus. But Father, thank you even more that Jesus gave up everything for us. And I pray for any here tonight who don't know that, that they might choose to follow Jesus in his name. I'm going to go back to our groups.
We'll do a 20 on the screen.
Yeah. Just saying that in terms of the words, you were, I'm not quite measuring, you were like very, very slightly too slow for that. I'm saying, especially for this next one, you say.